We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us again this morning as we meditate upon another precious verse which you've given us. We pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to the word that you have for us, and open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 2. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Here in the opening words of Song of Solomon, chapter 4, we are standing on resurrection ground. The marriage that has been pointed to since the beginning has now taken place, and Jesus Christ is praising his bride, the church. He describes her flawless beauty. First thing he mentions is her beautiful eyes, which are compared to the eyes of a dove. The second thing he mentions is her strikingly beautiful hair, which he compares to a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. And now he turns his attention to her comely teeth, which he compares to a flock of sheep that are even shorn. But there are teeth, and there are teeth. In Scripture, the Holy Spirit writes of different kinds of teeth. So to begin with this morning, we're going to turn the coin over and look at some of the evil teeth. The children of the devil are said to have lion's teeth, and their teeth are compared to spears and arrows. Satan himself is compared to a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the children of God are talked about as being sheep. Psalm 54, verse 7, which we're going to mention again later on, reads this way: My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows. There is a touching verse in the prophet Amos, who was a herdsman from Tekoa. It's in chapter 3, verse 12. And at least for some of us, once you read this verse, you simply cannot forget it. And the verse reads this way: Thus saith the Lord, As the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria and in the corner of a bed and in Damascus in a couch. Two legs or a piece of an ear. Representative here of God's elect. All of God's people are talked about in a certain way as being sheep. Here the lion has entered the flock, and of one of the sheep, all that is left is the remnants of two legs or a piece of an ear. But the shepherd has killed the lion, and very tenderly and lovingly pries the lion's mouth open and takes out two legs or a piece of an ear. Shepherds who have lived in the East tell us that one of the most devastating scenes you can possibly see is when a lion or a wolf have gotten into the flock during the night and murdered one after another. And in the morning, all you have out there is a bunch of dead sheep that have been mutilated by the lion. Some facts about lion's teeth. I didn't know some of this. An adult lion has 30 teeth in its mouth. And I'm not sure I'm pronouncing all this correctly, but there are four canine teeth, also known as fangs. These are the largest teeth. Two of them are in the upper part of his jaw and two in the lower. There are 12 teeth that are called incisors, six in the upper part of the jaw and six in the lower. There are 10 premolars, five in the upper side of the jaw, five in the lower, and four molars, two in the upper side of the jaw and two in the lower. The canines are the largest and probably the lion's most offensive weapons. They're usually used to grab and kill the prey. Lions' canines are held steadily deep inside the skull. This prevents them from breaking off during a strong bite. The lion's canines are its thickest and longest teeth. They are slightly serrated at the backside, and this helps the lion to grab steadier and hold its prey during a bite. These teeth are extremely strong. Sometimes during territorial fights between male lions, one lion will pierce through the skull of another with these fangs. As for the premolars, their sharp shape and their position makes them work like a pair of scissors for cutting pieces of meat, and even they can cut through the bone. More specifically, the upper premolars are not directly above the lower ones. This means that when a lion bites, the lower premolars meet the upper ones not on their top, but on their sides. And in this way, they cooperate by working like a scissors. As for the lion's molars, they are sharp and conical, designed for cutting and tearing flesh and even cutting through bone. This is a terrifying thing if you're a sheep. All the lion's teeth are equipped with very sensitive nerves, we're told, inside the teeth that allow the lion during a bite to find where the veins and the arteries of its prey are by feeling the blood flowing inside the veins and the arteries of its prey. Also, these nerves help the lion know when the prey is killed, because then the blood stops, it stops flowing, and the prey stops breathing. Lions do not chew their food. They swallow it whole in chunks. And the poundage, and I'm not sure how they measure this, is 1,000 pounds every time they bite. Lions are terrifying, terrifying creatures. The truth of the matter is that Satan and his wicked ones gnash their teeth against God's people to devour them. Notice, click carefully, the reaction of the people against godly Stephen in Acts chapter 7. I'm beginning at verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being filled with the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and a Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. It was the words of the Son of God recorded in Psalm 57, verse 4. But it could also be the words of his bride. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are like spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. There will, however, one day be a turnaround. The Son of God is also talked about as being a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And one day soon, the heathen will find their den located in the bottomless pit, where there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. This Hebrew word translated teeth here, which is a characteristic of the bride, is found 8 times in the Psalms, and I'm just going to quickly read through those 8 verses. They are instructive. First occurrence of it in the Psalms is in Psalm 3, verse 7, a prayer. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Well, the lion's teeth don't break, but they're going to break one day. Psalm 35, verse 16. With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Psalm 37, verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. And then a good reference, Psalm 45, verse 8. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces. Ivory is the same word translated teeth. So the teeth are beautiful ivory teeth, whereby they have made thee glad. Back to the wicked again, Psalm 54, verse 7, which we've read. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. A prayer of the bride, Psalm 58, verse 6. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Psalm 112, verse 10. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. And the final reference in Psalms would be Psalm 124, verse 6. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Not the same Hebrew word, but the word teeth also occurs in the Gospels. I'm going to quote 5 verses here. Son of God talking, but the children of the kingdom, these are the ones who rejected him, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. The teeth that they used to grind against God's people are now used against them. They're going to gnash their own teeth. Repetition, blessed repetition. Matthew 13, 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Another blessed repetition, Matthew 13, 50, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Another blessed repetition, Matthew 32, 13. Then said to the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And finally, Matthew 25, verse 30. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. These are very blessed, blessed repetitions if you are a sheep and you're seeing how God is destroying the lions. And it is a truth in Scripture that the salvation of God's people and the total, complete destruction of their lion-like enemies always go hand in hand. That is a blessed, blessed truth. And there's a great gulf fixed between the lions and the lambs. And the lions will not be able to cross it. So we've looked at it. It's amazing how many times in the Bible teeth are related to the enemy. But they're also related to the bride of Christ, and they're related to the bride here in the verse that we're looking at. And by sharp contrast, here we have the bride of Christ, whose teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing. What's he getting at here? Every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Not the easiest words to understand, but the clues are there if you do a little word search. So we're going to do a little word search quickly here. Jesus Christ talking about the flawless beauty of his bride, and the third thing he mentions is her strikingly beautiful teeth. They are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. The word shorn is a two-time occurrence. And oddly enough, the first time, the word is translated cut down. And it's in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 6. One of the sons of the prophets was out there taking a swipe at a tree with an axe, and the axe had came off and fell into the water and sank down to the bottom. And the man was devastated because he had borrowed the axe and he didn't have the money to replace it. So he told the prophet about it. And 2 Kings 6 verse 6 says this, "And the man of God said, where fell it?" Where did it go in? And he showed him the place. And he, the prophet, cut down, that's the word shorn, he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. So that's the only other occurrence of this Hebrew word for shorn. And the bridegroom says the bride has teeth that are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. I take that to mean that they are, every one of them, parallel with each other. There's not one high one and one low one. They are all even. A smile of someone who has perfect teeth is very beautiful, especially of a woman. It's very beautiful. And all the teeth are even shorn. There's not an up and a down or an up and a down and nothing missing either. Could be translated this way, according to one man who knows Hebrew very well. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep, all of the same size. Their coats have been trimmed. So this would be a thing of striking beauty to the bride of Christ. Perfect teeth are a thing of great beauty. They came up from the washing. Two hits here. Here in Song of Solomon 6, verse 6, duplicate verses. Remember that when we get to chapter 6, verse 6. Oh, we heard that. You would have heard a sermon on that before. You remember that. But you'll forget because we're a ways away from that. But anyway, two is the number of witness. And the sheep have their teeth washed. What are they washed by? The Word of God. Word of God. How often in Scripture the Word of God is compared to water or vice versa. So her teeth have been brushed with pure water. No bad breath here. Everyone beareth twins. This, the word twins here, I believe, has six hits, and four of them are in the Old Testament in Exodus chapters 26, verse 24, and Exodus 36, verse 29. And they're translated coupled together. They shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it into one ring. It seems to be talking about boards that are coupled together. So there's no space in between them. One is not higher than the other. They're perfectly level on the top, perfectly level on the bottom. And that, again, is a description of the beautiful smile of the bride of Jesus Christ. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are shorn, that came up from the washing. Every one of them beareth twins, and none is barren among them. Well, the twins are two again. Two is a number of witness, and none is barren among them. That's an interesting word, barren among them. What is he talking about? The key that opens this verse is in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8. And the context here is very important. Absalom has had a powerful rebellion against his father, King David. And David has had to flee in the darkness of night. And Absalom has this powerful, powerful army. And the worst part of it was that Ahithophel, who was at one time David's counselor, defected over to Absalom. And if there was anybody that knew a lot about David, it was Ahithophel. And Ahithophel was giving counsel to Absalom. And his counsel was this: you've got the king on the run. Don't let this escape you. Follow him right now and kill him. You've got him on the run. Follow him and finish him off. That was Ahithophel's advice. Well, there was another guy there named Hushai. He was a follower of David. And he said to all the people, the counsel of Ahithophel is not good at this time. And then he said this: thou knowest thy father. Now he's talking to Absalom. You know your father and his men, that they are mighty men. Remember, your dad went out against Goliath and killed him with a sling and a stone. Remember that. Now, you weren't alive then, but you've been told about it. And you've been told about all the victories that your father has won. He's a warrior. And he's followed by mighty men that are warriors also. You'd better watch out what you do. And now they're chafed in their mind. They're angry now. They're really upset. As a bear robbed. Same word translated barren. None is barren among them. Robbed. As a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. That's how mad they are. And you don't want to meet a mother bear when her whelps have been taken from her. She's angry. And that's what your father is. So you'd better watch out what you do. And thy father is a man of war. He will not lodge with the people. You might wipe out his army, but you're not going to get him. He's not that dumb. Then the following was this: you better wait. Take your time. Amass a great big army from all over Israel. And then go out against your father. And by the grace of God, Absalom followed that advice, which gave David time to regroup. And you know the end of the story. Same word translated barren here is also translated robbed in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 12. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. So the point of it is here is in the teeth of the bride, there are no teeth missing. She hasn't been robbed of any of them. They're all there. And in a woman especially, perfect teeth are extremely beautiful. A smile that's priceless. That's what the Son of God is talking about here. And these are the teeth of a lamb, not a vicious killing lion, but a lamb. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's what he said, and that's the way the bride is. There are more than 700 references to eating in the Bible, and teeth are an important part of that. And while most of the references to teeth have to do with the children of the devil who swallow their food whole, there are some references to the elect bride of Christ. And the children of God meditate upon his word in faith. The teeth of the bride here can be representative of faith and representative of meditation. Believing is often compared to eating in Holy Scripture because it's nourishment to the soul. And just as the physical body needs food to live and keep going, so the spiritual body does also. We've got souls that are every bit as hungry as our physical bodies are. When a physical body is hungry, it lets you know about it. It hurts you. You're hungry. You got to satisfy that. It's not that true with the spirit, though. Since the fall, we don't have any feeling about spiritual hunger by nature. That has to be acquired by the Holy Spirit, and he does that. So believing is often compared to eating. Remember the Passover lamb down in Exodus chapter 12? It was a banquet. Not only was the blood shed and smeared above the doors and above the lintel and that, but the Passover lamb was also eaten. It was a meal. It was feeding. And the same thing holds true with Christ, the Lamb of God. John 6, verse 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Well, how do you do that? How do you eat of that? You believe what the Word of God says. That's how you do it. And a lamb chews its cud. It doesn't swallow things whole. It takes its time, chews its cud, which is very healthy. And this speaks to meditating upon the Word of God. This is what a true child of God does. This is what the bride does. This is one of her beauties, that she meditates upon the Word of God every day. The bread that I will give is my flesh, he says. I'm still in John 6:51, which I will give for the life of the world. John 6:55, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And this is blessedly true in the Lord's Supper, where he gives us his body and his blood to the bride. For meditation, can't help but think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is a picture of the bride of Christ. Hypocrites don't do that. Children of the devil don't do that. But the bride of Christ does. Aren't many that do. They're kind of like two legs and a piece of an ear that the good shepherd pries open from the mouth of the lion. Not many of them, but she's very blessed. Psalm 63, verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. How often late at night the bride meditates upon the word of God. And this is all referred to by that beautiful, beautiful mouth of teeth that she has that are strikingly beautiful and praised by the bridegroom. We are living in very dangerous times. This is true in our country, physically speaking. We know that. We know what's happening in other parts of the world, in our own land. We know that. And the saying is true, if things go haywire in the country, it's because they've gone haywire in the church first. And the greatest dangers are found in the church, not in the country. And the bride has no greater danger than the false prophets. The Son of God mentions that over and over and over again. So I'm going to end the sermon by a poem that was written by a man called Arthur T. Tamplin. I don't have the slightest idea who he was, but when you listen to the poem that he wrote, you will get the picture. He's talking about the final days. He's talking about the visible church. Starts this way, the good old days. The good old days go back to when most pastors were God-fearing men who searched the scriptures day and night for what is true and what is right. And this would apply to lay people also, especially in our day. The Bible was their guide and norm in duties they had to perform. They simply judged by God's pure word all things they read and saw and heard. They never tried to compromise God's word with Satan's clever lies. Where scripture spoke, no more was said. The issue was considered dead. These pastors had no itching ears, nor were they swayed by doubts and fears. They preached the law with thunderous might, then bathed their flocks in gospel light. Their faithful hearers were assured that they had heard God's holy word, and each of them could then depart with joy and peace within the heart. What modern shepherds preach today lets people choose their own best way. They feed the sheep on man-made straw with token gospel, token law. Like blinded leaders of the blind, they merely titillate the mind. In love, they try to get along without dividing right from wrong. Their faithful sheep are sore abused. Small wonder they leave church confused. With babbling tongues, they seek to pray, not knowing what they try to say. We ask, dear Lord, send us once more strong men like those we had before, who love above all else God's word, through which salvation is assured. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof everyone bare twins, and none is barren among them. The flawless beauty of the bride.